This morning, what we're doing is we're looking at powerful. Jesus lived a powerful life, and he is looking each and every one of us to live a powerful life. In fact, he stated it over and over again. I want you to not only do great things, but I want you to feel great. I want you to know who you are. He wants us to know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. But for some of us, that doesn't make an awful lot of sense, so let me just make it really practical. He wants you to wake up every day and know that you've got destiny, that you have purpose, that there is a reason for your life. He wants you to know that you're not just a mistake. He wants you to know that you're here on this earth, not just for yourself, but to affect the lives of other people. He wants you to know that you're powerful. He wants you to know that your actions count. He wants you to know that you have limitless potential. In other words, whatever you set your mind to, you could do. Here's the sad reality of what the enemy's after trying to do in each one of our lives day after day. I'm no good. I'm not even sure what I'm here for. He wants to leave us confused. He wants to leave us intimidated. He wants us to make us feel that we're not powerful, that there's nothing that we're here for, that there's nothing that we can do. In fact, we don't even have that many friends. And God is here this morning to tell you that the goal of him towards you is that you will become powerful people. For I'm building a powerful people, that he's building a powerful church that will be effective in this world against the darkness of this world, against the emotions of this world, against the people of this world, because he wants us to be powerful. And powerful in what? He is not necessarily looking at us to become Iron Man or Superman or Supergirl. Although if that's your thing, go for it. He is looking for us to be powerful in love, because it is love that changes the world. It is love. And what does he want us to be most powerful in? That we know that we are loved. That we know that we know that we know that we know that we are loved. That we know that we loved. You know, in those early days when you get saved and you keep asking Jesus into your life over and over and over again, what are we really saying? We're saying, God, please, I just want to know that you love me, because I know if you love me, I'm getting into heaven. I want to know that you love me, because if you love me, then my sins will be forgiven. My life will never be the same again. And so in those early days of our relationship with him, we ask ourselves over, or we ask him over and over and over again, Jesus, just come into my life, come into my life. And God is here this morning to say, hey, the journey that you have been on in this last 21 days, and maybe you don't even feel it's been that intentional, but God has been taking you on a journey regardless of how you've been feeling or regardless of what necessarily you've been doing, because he's too great for that. He is so great that he steps out of us so that it's not just all about us. Although our role is important, he says, I'm still going after you. I'm still, as a church, if you're a part of this church, have been coming to this church, then over this last 21 days, God has been after you in ways that you've never seen or heard or felt before. And he wants to transform your life, because he says, I want to bring you deeper. I want to get you more intimate with me, because the direct result of that will be you will be more powerful. You're going to do great things. You're going to hear the verses like, I can do greater things than Christ, and you're not just going to sneer it off. You're not just going to go, well, that's okay for such and such, but definitely not going to be me. You're not just going to just dismiss it. You're suddenly going to go, okay, Lord, but how? Okay, Lord, but I might be reluctant, but okay. Remember Moses? He was reluctant, but he said okay in the end. You can be reluctant, that's fine, but you've got to realize that God is working through your life and through your heart and through your mind to make you more powerful. Here's Matthew 10:8. Let's just set the stall out right from the beginning, Peter. Can we get that one up? Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. This is how Jesus sent the disciples out. Now, if you are a follower of Christ, guess what? You are a disciple too. You're a disciple of Jesus. This is what he said to them as they went. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those of leprosy, drive out demons, freely receive, now freely give. I mean, like, what, Lord? I mean, like, I don't even know sometimes what I'm meant to do. I'm not even sure what if I can share my faith. And he's saying, get out there, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, drive out demons, freely receive, now freely go. Now, is he saying that to push us down and because he's insensitive and because he doesn't realize that we're not able to do that? No, here's what he's doing. He's raising the bar, because we've lived so lowly, we don't even think we can do anything. I mean, we know there are days we struggle to even want to get up sometimes. We know that there are days where we struggle to even want to pray, even want to read, and we say to ourselves, am I even really a Christian? You know? But the truth is, we all face those challenges. The truth is that we all face those struggles. And yet, in spite of that, he is making us powerful. Now, how do we activate the powerful in our lives? By faith. By faith. Lord, I choose to believe that this is the bar that is in front of me, even though I don't feel like it, even though I've never done it, even though I haven't been to Bible college. God says, this is what I'm setting for you. This is the target I've got in front of you. And in actual fact, he wants you to get excited. He actually does. He wants you to get excited, because have you ever been around someone and you got to lay hands on them and then suddenly they go, wow, I think something happened. You're like, well, I wasn't believing really that much, but okay, thank you, Lord. Have you ever been there? And suddenly that person's like, whoa, something. And you're like, okay, me too, Lord. Give me some too. It's like, it's incredible. It's just that feeling. It's like, wow, something changes. Because when we are around people and we bring change in Jesus' name, it is incredible. What is going on in the inside? Suddenly on the inside, we're figuring out, I was made for this. This is truly my heart. This is truly what I'm after. This is what brings me alive. If you haven't laid hands on someone or you haven't prayed for someone yet, get going. Just get going, because it is exciting. It is incredible. It is not about you. It is all about him. Good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's why we can do it. That is why we can do it. Otherwise, you would have to be perfect. You would just have to be perfect. You'd have to go, I don't know, like a doctor and a vet, something like that. Maybe take 10 years at university, and then hopefully you would be adequate enough to be able to pray for some people and see somebody delivered, see somebody healed, or see some tiny wee feeling happen. Lord says, no. I have sent you, but this is what I have sent you with: the ability, the power, the Holy Spirit, so that you can heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those of leprosy, drive out demons. I mean, this is big stuff. And yet, this is what God has called us to. Because guess what? He created all of creation, and then at the end, he said, I've saved the best to last. You are the best. You are the best thing that he has ever created. We have to know this morning. And inside you may be squirming and going, man, I don't even know if anybody thinks that. I don't even think that. God says, I save the best to last. You are the best. And I have everything set up for you. I have everything set up for you. Even when the enemy came and sin came into the world and everything was death and destruction, I had set everything up for you. And I've sent Jesus. I've got the Holy Spirit here. I have salvation for you. I have healing for you. I have transformation for you. And it's not just for you. I want you to be part of the party too. I want you to be part of the team. I want you to be part of the gang. Ever had that occasion that came where the guys are going to play football, or Rounders is going to happen back in the day, or some kind of sports going back in the day, and you're the last one picked? Anybody had that experience? You're like, just swallow the ground. Let the ground swallow me up now. We actually do want to be on the team. We want to be on the team. In fact, we want to be first picked. Or maybe not first, because they're like worried about who else. But let's say second picked. We'll go for second. We want to be chosen. God says, I have chosen you. I have chosen you. And I've chosen you for the top team. This is the elite team. This is the A team. And God has chosen each and every one of us. And you're thinking, is he mad? He is. He's crazy in love with you. He's crazy in love with you. And the more of his love that gets into your heart, the more powerful you become. You see, the only thing that's holding you back is your thinking. That is what's holding you back. It's your thinking, it's your actions, and it's the people that you're around. And God says, if you will allow me in my presence, I will change all of those things. And suddenly, you will become and you will be the person you always were meant to be, but you just forgot, or you got distracted, or you never quite knew yet. Imagine I've got something to tell you, and you don't come and ask me about it. It's like, how are you supposed to know? How are you supposed to know? And yet God sets this out to say, hey, this is what is before you. Now press into me and by faith seek me and watch how I reveal these things through you. I want us to understand the lie that the enemy sows, that I'm not good enough to do this. Of course you're not. Of course you're not. You don't need to be good enough. This is all about him. He works through your life. We go for simple obedience in faith. That's what God calls us to. God wants to pour out his whole life inside of you. You know the way Jesus went to the cross and he poured out his life? And he poured out his life to defeat sin and defeat death. So in other words, anywhere his life goes, he brings resurrection. Guess what he did in you? He poured out his life in you. He poured out his lifeblood on you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So there is resurrection power in you. That's why you are alive and not dead in the Spirit. And God wants to do the same things in your mind and in your heart so that you start to believe and go, wow, maybe, just maybe, I could be one of those people. Maybe, just maybe, I could believe for those things. Maybe, just maybe, I could be part of his team. That's what God is calling us to. That's why he says you are powerful. And that is why he's asking you to come close. He wants you to live in full abundance. He wants you to live in full abundance. And when I think about Jesus, the two things that fascinate me the most about Jesus is his compassion for people. He just has this outrageous love for people, so much that he's willing to die for them, and he did. He has this radical, outrageous love for people. He's compassionate for them. And then the other part is just the amazing part, is the miracles. He's just like, he walks on water. Like, that is just stunning, walking on water. I'm trying to do it in the bath. It's not working. It's just not working. Could you imagine? But it's just like, he walked on water. He is a miracle worker. And yet, he's looking to do the same through each and every one of us. I tell you, if you have not seen God work through you, you're missing out on the best thing ever. We need to step out in simple faith and just simple obedience and say, Lord, just use me. I always remember the story. I'll repeat it because it's worth repeating. Years ago, we went to Greece. We are there. We're thrown into the deep end. The refugees are there. We got there. We were supposed to have a plan. We got there. We were told there was no plan. We were like, oh my goodness, what do we do now? And we were like, well, we should do what the Bible says, follow the Holy Spirit. So we did. So we started to follow the Holy Spirit, and he put us in contact with this guy. And then suddenly we got to this place, and then suddenly there was lots of people to pray for, and they're looking at you going, are you a doctor? And we're like, no, not really, but we know a great physician, so we'll pray anyway. And they were like, okay, pray. And so we began to pray, and we started to see like lots of incredible things take place. But I remember one of the guys, Yule, was there, and we're all busy praying. And this woman comes up to him, and she's got this like huge growth thing. And he's thinking, flip, I just want to get out of here. But we're here to do good things, so he's trying to have compassion, he's trying to love, and so he's looking around for some of us, and he can't find any of us because we're all busy praying with people. And he says, okay then, Lord, and he just begins to pray, and this thing just, boom, it just like disappears, like totally disappears. And he's like still praying, and the thing's disappeared. And afterwards, he's going, yeah, she's going like, God, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And he's like, what? What just happened? You see, it's not about us, but if we don't enter into that, if we don't step into that, we're going to miss out on so much. Can I tell you this? His life has never been the same again, and neither is hers. They have never been the same again because of one encounter with the Holy Spirit, because of one radical encounter where God just worked through them. You see, it's not about you, but it can be if you get stuck in the middle and just don't do nothing. It can be if you get stuck in the middle and just say, oh, no, I can't, I won't, I shouldn't, I couldn't, I don't think I can. And God says this morning, I want to make you powerful. Will you let me? I want to make you powerful. Will you let me? In every way. And your thinking and your emotions, in every single way, I want to do that. The thing I love about Jesus is that he was just like incredible. He just followed after the Father. God says this morning, I want to make you powerful. I want to make you just like him. He was incredible with forgiveness. God says this morning, I want to make you incredible with forgiveness. Because you got to know this morning, if there's unforgiveness in our hearts, our powerfulness is gone. It's just not happening. Because unforgiveness is incredible at holding back the power of God in our lives. If you want to be a person that sees people healed, sees people set free, God wants to work through you to do that in your life. And so we have a huge part to play. And as we continue to seek him, this is what God is going to do. This is what he wants to do. Now, over this last couple of weeks, we've been pursuing a relationship deeper with him. That's what he's calling us to. I encourage you, keep going. Keep going deeper into your relationship with him. Can I encourage you that even if it's 15 minutes a day for the next month, that's probably been more in the last 2 years in some of our lives. Do it. It will be worth it. Every single moment spent with him, guess what? It's not just sacrifice. It's investment. It's like investment into a bank account like you couldn't believe. It is incredible. Do it. Just set up a habit, set up a routine, set up a moment where you just say to yourself, I'm doing 5 minutes every lunchtime, no matter what. I'm doing 5 minutes every night, no matter what. I'm going to read a chapter, I'm going to worship, I'm going to pray, no matter what. We've got to create healthy disciplines in our lives, or guess what? God will have all this stuff ready for us, but we will just defeat ourselves because we won't know what he's about, we won't know what is possible, we won't even have heard of Matthew 10:8 because we never read it. And so therefore, we just keep going around thinking, well, I know he's called me to be powerful, but I don't know what. I don't know what. See, the Bible is there for clear instruction. It's there to remind us of how much he loves us. It's there to guide us in times when we don't know what to do. And it's there to be our anchor. It's there to be our hope. It's there to be our reference point. And it is a living word. Imagine that. There is no other book that you're going to read that is a living word. The Bible is a living word. In other words, people have said, as you read it, it reads you. Because the word is Jesus. Jesus is in the room with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. And suddenly your life is transformed. Can I give you 3 barriers that's going to hold you back from becoming powerful and stepping into a greater relationship with God? Really simple. Let me give you 3. Is our words. Our words need to change if we're going to go deeper into the things of God. Your words are going to have to change. Here's what God has been revealing to me week after week, month after month, and he's just saying the same two words, self-talk. Self-talk. Our self-talk, in other words, the way that we talk to ourselves, is horrendous. If somebody else did it to us, if we were aggressive, we'd hit them. You know, if we were emotional, we would cry. It's just like, if we listened to that from somebody else, we'd be like, I am never speaking to them again. They have offended me to the highest order, and I'm like, get thee behind me, Satan. This is not happening. And yet our self-talk sometimes is horrendous. It's just crazy. It's like, couldn't. Could you imagine if you really wanted to do something and one person kept saying to you all the time, no way. You'd be like, can I get away from this person or is it okay to hit them or something? But you would be like, I need to get away from them because I am really wanting to do this thing. Can I tell you that that's kind of like the way the Spirit of God is yearning inside of your heart every single time? Whenever we say, no, I can't, no, I won't, no, it's not me, no, I wouldn't be able to, no, I shouldn't, no, I couldn't, no, I can't. Every single time, it's almost like the Bible tells us we can't grieve the Father, we can't grieve the Son, but we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of us to work the works of the Father. The Holy Spirit is inside of us to work the works of the kingdom. In other words, to do God's will. And every time when we hear God's voice, or every time when we don't hear God's voice and we speak other things, or we speak this, or we speak that, we are coming against what we want to naturally do. Because remember, we are supernatural now. We are now seated in heavenly places with Christ. And you're finding that hard to believe because your words need to change. Your words need to change. So how's that going to happen? You're going to speak better words. You need to know the word to speak better words. You need to ask God and say, God, how do I speak better? Or if you've got some close friends, you say, like, do you hear me sometimes saying negative words against myself or negative self-talk? They'll go, yeah, you're always saying this and you shouldn't do it. You're better than that. You're more than that. Self-talk is going to hold us back from how God wants to speak to our lives. Because every single time he speaks to us, we're going to go, no. Definitely not. No, I just couldn't do it. Just, this is not happening. Self-talk is going to kill us. Here's what it wants to do. Our self-talk, our own talk, when we talk to ourselves, it should be dynamite to the things we're going to do. It should be just like, shoom, I'm ready to go. Fast and Furious, those early days at the NOS kits. It should be just like, hit the button. We are ready to go. I can do this. I can do this. David spoke to himself. He spoke to himself in the cave, and he said, get up, soul. It's time to go. Get up. This is time to go. God is with me. He had to speak to himself. I think we need to cultivate a lifestyle of speaking to ourselves and say, right, it's time to move now. I've sat here for too long. I'm talking negative stuff. I'm talking this over my life. This is not sowing good seed into my life. I am going to reap a bad harvest, and then I'm going to wonder how I got here. So our self-talk, our words are vitally important. We need to learn better words. If you need better words, go to the Bible. God's going to teach you lots of incredible words. Second thing, our actions. Your actions. The things that you are doing, are not doing, are preventing you from the relationship and the powerful ways that God wants to move through your life. They're like a barrier. It's like literally coming to this roadblock and you're crying out and you're asking God, but your actions are preventing you from being there. They're just preventing you. And I want to encourage you this morning that we must make sure that our actions are coming into alignment with what God wants. That's why Jesus, day after day, just kept saying, God, not my will, but yours. What's your will for my life? God, where do you want me to go? I mean, is it too much to think to ourselves, like, no matter what I do, I just say, God, what do you want me to do? Yeah, I want to cultivate a lifestyle where I just say, God, what's my next move? God, what's your heart in this thing? God, what have you called me to? Now, watch what God will do as we go deeper into a relationship with him. It will be less asking him, and it'll be more a communication with him. This is what God wants to do. And I think sometimes this is a trap that we fall into. We get to the place of, I'm asking God for help, but God wants to mature you to a place where it's communication and you're working together with him. So it's like, God, I just have a sense this is where you're calling me to. God, will you let me know if it's not, but I'm going this way. That's how we're moving forward in God. If it's always like those baby things, God, just help me. God, would you tell me? It's like we're not progressing and we're not stepping into the wisdom and the calling that God has given us. James tells us, James 1:5, if you lack wisdom in anything, ask for it and God will pour it into your life. So our actions and our asking are vitally important. And so God is asking us this morning, as we take those steps, as we take those actions, we're just like, God, I'm just in communication with you. What do you think, God? Yeah, I'm going this way. God, what's your heart? I want to just move with this. God, yeah, I'm going here, but I want you to step in if not. And there's just that constant communication, like that relationship. Like that relationship. You know, when you get into those deeper relationships and it's less about permission and it's more about just communication, we're just talking back and forth. And everything's different. And that is what God is looking to bring us into. But watch how our actions will become a huge barrier. Your actions, I said it with our words, but our actions are exactly the same, will become seeds. And what we plant is what we grow. What we plant is what we grow. So let's make sure that our actions are lining up, because God has called us into powerful steps with him. Powerful steps like healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. And then the last one, but I believe it's really, really important, and it's one that we're going to know so well, is that our thoughts need to change. Your thoughts need to change. And here's what I encourage you with when it comes to our thoughts. I'm conscious of the people around you. I'm conscious of the people around you. Because if you have too many people around you that drain you, then you're drained. If you have too many people around you that are drained, then you will become drained. And even though God wants to work powerfully through your life, it will be like a distant memory, or will feel like a jump too far. It will feel like a step that's just too far in the future. It's like, okay, God, but you need the right people around you that are going to encourage you with the right things. Because if you have the right people around you, guess what's going to happen? They're going to speak the right words. They're going to show you the right actions. And suddenly your thoughts are going to match up with what God says. And he's going to match them up with what he says about you. Yeah, God, you're for me. God, I know this. God, I know that if you're for me, who can be against me? But this morning, if we're not seeing our life going deeper into the things of God, and we're not stepping into more of the things of God, and we're not seeing our relationship with God grow, then I encourage you this one simple truth. Check your circle. Check the circle of friends that are around your life, because the friends that are around your life should be drawing you closer into the things of God. That's why God loves family. That's why God says, I don't want you to be alone. That's why God wants you to be in church. Now, there are other people in your circle that you're there to reach, but there must be people in your circle that are there to encourage and build you up. Otherwise, you're going to become drained, and you're going to be no good for nothing. You'll be like that balloon that's just done. You know, balloons are amazing when they're blown up, but they're not so good when they're on the floor and they're just, you throw them in a bin. You throw them in a bin. And for us this morning, we've got to be conscious, not just of the way that we talk, not just of the actions that we take, but the friends around us, because we realize that they are vitally crucial. And not just to keep us on the straight and narrow, but to propel us forward. Who are the people in your life that are calling out your destiny? Who are the people in your life that they're, it's like you're looking at them, you're going, wow, I love what God's doing in their life, and I want to mirror after them. I want to go after, I want to seek after what they're doing, because I love what I can see God doing in their life. We need those people in your life. Now, if you don't have them, don't get discouraged this morning. Pray and ask God, because he will bring those people to your life. He will bring those people. But here's the difficult part. Your circle can only be so big. We know that, don't we? It can only be so big. So you may have to lose some people to bring some other people in. And that's really important, and that's really crucial. And I've seen that many times over the years in my life. And God will naturally do that, but sometimes we fight to hold on whenever we should be letting go. And sometimes we're letting go when we should be fighting to hold on. And so what do we need to know? We need to know God's voice. Otherwise, we're going to take the wrong actions based on the wrong thoughts. We need sometimes to let some people in our circle go, because God wants to bring other people in. As we become more mature in our faith, that's just going to become a very normal thing. A very normal thing. But remember the question, remember the thought. If your relationship in God is not going at the steam that you want it to be, if it's not going to those intimate levels, if it's not moving forward in any capacity, you need to check your friendship circles. Something needs to change. Either you're in lack of friends or you've got the wrong friends. Something needs to change. And God wants to encourage you with that this morning. So look, we're talking about all these things. We've been going through this 21 days of prayer and fasting. We've been looking at some of the things that can hold us back. But God is here this morning to change us. And here's a few of the questions that God put in my heart as I'll start to try and wind up in the next few minutes. He said this, who is tired of going backwards or being in the same place? This is what God is speaking over our lives this morning. Who's tired of just going through the same motions, going through the same places, going through the same thoughts? Who's tired of that? Because God has so much more. Who's tired of just being tired? Because God wants to make you powerful. He wants to transform your life. Who's just tired of, I'm just sick of it just always being this way? God says there's so much more for your life. There is so much more. And guys, we could spend all day, but here's what we have to do. We have to receive it by faith, and then we step into that faith, and we say yes. Can I tell you what Jesus did? Let me read it this morning, what Jesus did. Now, Jesus in Luke chapter 3, gets filled with the Spirit. He gets baptized, which we're going to do in a few weeks' time. And it says this, that as he got baptized, he got filled with the Spirit. Now, I know many of us have got filled with the Spirit, and that's wonderful. I want a church full of people that are filled with the Spirit, in the anointing of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, because that is God's heart for every one of our lives. But something happens between Luke 3 and Luke 4, and I want to draw your attention to it this morning. And it's something that we must realize. We have a huge part to play. Luke 4, I think we've got it on the screen. There we go. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Now, he started off well. But can I tell you, there's more to come? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, he left the Jordan, the place where he'd been baptized, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. You're like, what, Lord? I've just got filled with the Spirit. I'm going to be tempted by the devil. That's not fair. No, God's working something that we don't understand and we don't realize just yet. It says he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I bet you. I bet you after 40 days. After 40 days, he eats nothing. I was going Daniel fast, which was tough enough. This is 40 days of just water. Incredible. But what was Jesus showing us? He was showing us the principle of there is something that I will give you, but then there's something that you must do. There is something that I will give you, but there's something that you must do. But you will not do it in your own strength, because note, it says he went full of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus didn't try to go and fast and pray for 40 days. He didn't go into the wilderness in his own strength. He went in full of the Holy Spirit. And get ready for the testing. Because every single time, I don't want us to be disillusioned, I want us to be encouraged, every single time that you step up and out for God, you're going to be tested. Why? Because the enemy wants to know if you're real or not. Are you real or not? Are you real? Are you serious about this thing? Now, that should not be a case of saying, well, God's not for me. That should be a case of, wow, this is a time I need God. This is where he's going to prove things. I am going to overcome. It's in those moments God's going to do something significant. Now, watch what happens in Luke 4:14. 12 verses go in between. We don't have time for it this morning. I encourage you to read it. Devil comes to try Jesus 3 times, tempt him 3 different times. Let me encourage you, temptation is not a sin. It's only when we act on it. Jesus was tempted in every way, but he chose to resist because he was full of the Spirit. But watch what happens before his public ministry begins. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Did you notice what happened? He went in full of the Spirit, and now he leaves in the power of the Spirit. Here's what I really believe. Imagine like we're baking. I'm just obsessed with food right now because I'm getting excited to eat again. But let's imagine you're making me a beautiful cake, and which would be fine. I would gratefully receive that. And you're making me a beautiful cake, but you decide, I want to make it a chocolate cake. So you take that and you just say to yourself, do you know what, I could just set it beside it, or I could just set it on top of it, or I can put the label on the box of this chocolate cake. But it's only when we take that kind of coloring and we drop it in and then we get it to mix up that suddenly the whole thing is all the way through. It's just like all the way through. I believe that that's what God wants to do in our lives. When we get filled with the Spirit, he wants to do something with us so that the Spirit is all the way through us. So it's like all the way through. It's like a permanent dye. We will never be the same. It's like the Holy Spirit wants to come into our lives, but there is a difference between being full in the Spirit and being powerful in the Spirit. Because I've seen many people that are full in the Spirit, but they're not powerful in the Spirit. And something has got missed, or something's got disconnected in between. And maybe you're at that place. You said, Lord, I feel like you've filled me. I feel like you have overflowed me. But you have filled me to overflowing. But I feel like there's just more, Lord. There's just more. And God says this morning, I want you to know what happens in the wilderness is vitally important. What happens in those moments, what happens in those quiet times. You know when you go into those secret places, which are a wee bit like the wilderness, or maybe you went into that prayer of time and fasting, what really happened that whole time? If you went after it and you sought God, really what happened was you emptied yourself. You emptied yourself so that God could fill you in every way. You emptied every area of your life so that the Holy Spirit just wasn't upon you, so the Holy Spirit just wasn't there with you, but he flooded every part of your life. And when you come out of it, suddenly you realize, wow, I don't have to think the same. I don't have to act the same. I don't have to say the same things. I am completely changed because he has filled me. He has flooded me. He's just done incredible things through my life. And I have sought him. I have been on my knees. In fact, I have pushed other things out. I have emptied myself because I didn't want anything else. I sought him so I could be forever changed. You see, after those 40 days with Jesus and he's being tested, we get obsessed with the testing. I'm more obsessed by he was just getting filled with the Spirit. He was just getting empowered by the Spirit. He was starting to learn with God things that he'd never learned before. After that 40 days, Jesus came and he changed everything. He changed everything. Can I tell you, after this 21 days, if you've gone after it, things are never going to be the same again. Can I encourage you this morning that even if you haven't given it the way you wanted to give it, you should get home tonight and just spend some time with him. Can I encourage you, what happened to Jesus after that time of 40 days was his life was never the same. In fact, what happened to his life was he craved the presence of the Father. It's like every moment of every day, even when exciting things were happening, he just couldn't wait to get alone with him. Something needs to change in your life if you want to go after Matthew 10:8. If you want to heal the sick, if you want to cast out demons, if you want to cleanse the lepers, if you just want to know in yourself that you're full of identity, if you just want to know in yourself that you have purpose and that you are incredible and that God has set you up to do amazing things, if you want to believe this, if you want to know that, if you want to become powerful, it is found in his presence. Not rushing away, taking moments with him. You will not get it here. Unfortunately, you can't. It's just too quick. Happens too quickly. You'll get bits of it. You'll get portions of it that might just encourage you for a season, but this has to be cultivated at home, alone, wherever you find yourself with him. Jesus, he went in full of the Holy Spirit. He had a great start, went into the wilderness, and he spent 40 days with the Father. The enemy came to test him. You're going to find testing as you go to those lonely places. You're going to find testing as you go into those secret places with God. But trust me, it's a testing to prove you, not a testing to fail you. God is going to do things in your life that will forever change you. Jesus, without those 40 days, could never have the impact that he did. Can I say that for your life? Without those moments with God, without those days dedicated to him. Remember, that 21 days, you can do that anytime. That fasting, you can do that anytime. In fact, I believe that God's calling us to more of it. In fact, I believe he's calling us to deeper things, more secret moments with him, and more intimate moments with him, more powerful moments with him, because I really want to step after the things of God. I really want to. Personal testimony from me to you, and then we're going to stand and worship, because I really want you to get this in your heart. There may be things in your life that you're yearning for. There may be things that you're yearning. You're saying, God, I want to be used like that. I want to be used like that. But our thinking, our actions and our circles will always hold us back. I remember years ago thinking to myself, God, I want to go after the things of you, but I'm fearful. I'm not fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm just fearful in general. I'm just worried. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. I don't want to do. I want those things of you, God, but I don't know what to do. And I got to a place of, I fought my way into the presence of God, and I said, I'm coming back here every day until something changes in me. You've got to get something. And I'm going to ask the Lord to give you a heavenly download or maybe just a picture in front of you, because you've got to have some kind of goal. And Jesus wants to be your goal and Jesus wants to be your prize. But something needs to trigger inside of your mindset that says, in fact, I'm going to go pressing into the things that scares me. In fact, I'm going to press into the things that hold me back. I'm going to seek him above all else because I'm not satisfied with the life that I have right now. I know that there is more. Can I tell you, I know that there is more for you. I know that there is so much more for you. You know, one of the blessings that I have is that God is able to show me things and reveal things, sometimes better than other people know themselves. And I just pray into them because I believe it's a treasure and it's a blessing, because he just says, there's so much more on their life. There's so much more in her life. There's so much more in his life. Just keep encouraging them. Just keep loving them. Just keep pursuing them. Just keep saying, keep going. You know, just keep that encouragement flowing, because God has more in store for you. As we seek him, we're going to find. As we seek him, we are going to find. I'm going to lie. I'm going to read one more verse because I feel it's important this morning. Let's stand together as we do this. 2 Corinthians 12:9. We read this verse over and over and over again, but I want to just set it in your heart. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We know this verse inside out, and yet so many of us are still going around weak because you have to activate this verse by faith. You have to come to a point where you say to yourself, okay, God, if that's true, then use me. If that's true, I will accept that invitation. If that's true, then I will share my testimony. If that's true, then I will do this. I will talk to my friend at work. You must step out. Every single part of our faith is about movement. It's like when you accept Jesus into your life, you had to believe in him. You had to step out. You maybe had to raise your hand. You had to pray. You had to become a follower. When Jesus, after this, he gets full of the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, he gets anointed, he realizes the anointing of heaven is all over his life, and then he goes out and he picks his guys and he says, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me, come follow me. God is saying the same to your heart this morning. Come follow me. Have you got weaknesses? It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Stop allowing our weaknesses to hold us back. Have you got mistakes in you? Not a big deal. Have you got regrets? Not a big deal. Come after me and watch how I will transform and change you. His Holy Spirit will move through you. So I'm going to pray this morning. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit's going to come, and maybe you need to be filled by the Spirit, or maybe you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you just need released. And we're going to pray over those both things. And I'm going to believe this morning that things are changing that will never be the same again. Now remember this. As we pray for this stuff, here's what God does. He heals you and he transforms you in any area that you need. He doesn't come and just touch you in this one area. He's a complete God. He touches you in every area that you need. But you've got to step out by faith. Me and one of the guys were talking earlier. You're not going to feel it always. You're going to have to step out by faith and test that. Try that. Go out for that. Do this, because that's what God's calling us to do. So come on, let's pray this morning. If you need him, we're going to pray.